This has been a great day of worship, and we've sung, and that's been wonderful as well. This afternoon, I want to talk to you a little bit about a man who loves to sing. And actually, I'm going to talk about a couple of different people here. But I want us to focus in on James chapter 5 and verse 13, as it was just read to us a moment ago. Here, James giving this wonderful advice. He says, "Is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing psalms." There have been times in our lives where we are sorrowful, where we're suffering, and where we need to pray. It's often the case that when we go and visit someone who is ill or in the hospital, we're going to pray with them. It's also a very joyful occasion when we're with someone who's happy, and if we have the opportunity to break out into a song and to sing. There's some opportunities that we have to sing from time to time with one another, and it's a great, great blessing to do so. Many years ago, I was at a church in Kentucky where I was preaching, and I believe I've told this before, but my custom would be to come in on Saturdays. I would prepare the announcement sheet, the handout, make sure that we had all the latest information there, and then after I would print and fold those out, I would go through the auditorium to the main foyer and place those there, and on my way back, sometimes I would just jump up on the stage, I'd grab a songbook, open it to whatever the opening was, and just belt it out and to sing one verse of that song. I'd turn a couple of pages more and I'd sing the verse of that song. I don't like to lead singing in front of people, but in that setting, I just felt like singing, and I felt like I did a pretty decent job. That was my habit and custom for a while until Sonny McManus, the man who prepared the Lord's Supper one day, was standing off on the side and asked, "Do you take requests?" And so it kind of got my attention, and after that, I became a stage fright, and I did not like to sing anymore in that setting. But if you've ever been in a position where you were happy and you wanted to sing, you understand that it's something. There's something therapeutic to us as individuals when we're happy and we sing. And so if you got that championship and you sing that championship song, your alma mater song, or whatever song there is that's near to you for whatever circumstance, there's an element of us that appreciates the singing that we do. Many years ago, Carl and I were living in Snellville, Georgia. Ray and Caroline Lizzie were dear friends of ours. Caroline is still alive, but Ray has since passed on. Ray was instrumental in several things there at the church, deacon of the church, very hardworking couple, very, very loving to others, and they loved the Lord. And it was evident in everything that they did. Ray was a mechanic, and one of the things that he dreamed about doing was to retire from his shop and to spend most of his time going around to smaller churches to encourage them, to help them lead singing, to train people how to sing, and to encourage them with their presence as they would go out from Snellville, Georgia, to other places. A wonderful couple and a great dream that they had. One of the things that Ray loved to do each year was to organize the New Year's Eve singing at the Snellville Church of Christ. And so for many years, that was the custom. And as many people as would want to would gather at the church building for an informal setting, and they would stay till midnight and beyond, and they would be singing hymns of praise to God during that time. And, of course, they took some time to stop and to eat food as well, as is our custom. But it was a wonderful and marvelous thing to witness and to be a part of. Ray Lizzie loved to sing. Ray Lizzie, later, as Carl and I migrated out from that church, I had the opportunity to begin preaching at a small church down the road about 25 miles at the congregation at Monroe. And so as we were out there, a smaller church, Snellville at that time was 350 or so in size, and we left the relative comfort of that to start with this church of only 35 people. We were desperate for people to come, our friends to come and to visit with us, to encourage us, to uplift us in the smaller church. Ray and Caroline Lizzie would often be there on Sunday nights. And so as they would come, it would be a great encouragement because they were there for that purpose. I knew part of what Ray's vision was for his life. He wanted to retire. He wanted to spend at least half of his Sundays to go out to these smaller churches to help people with their singing and to encourage them by his presence. We love to see any visitors come, but particularly when they were our friends from the other church that we had just left. And so as time went on, Ray became sick. And part of his sickness required that the surgeons would go in and take out his voice box. He had a Hodgkin's lymphoma or a non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, I'm not sure which, but there was a time when he had to have his voice box taken out. I was at the hospital with him in Georgia the day that they took him back. I was back in the pre-op area of surgery along with his wife and his daughters, and he was there. And I can still remember Ray, he's just talking to me, and he says, Mike, he says, I know I've got a good family around me, biological family, and I know that they're strong here for me, but he said, I don't know how anybody could go through such a trial in their life without their church family around me. And let me tell you, that church at Snellville, it was still in its infancy, probably only about 25 or 30 years old at that time. It was a close-knit family, even though people were moving in and out all the time. There was a sense of unity. There was a sense of oneness. When one hurt, we all cried. When one was doing well, we all rejoiced. And I agree with Ray that that was true. I don't see how anyone can go through these life challenges without their church family around them. Well, the surgery was successful to remove his voice box, and for a series of months, Ray was not able to speak at all. Later on, he was fitted with one of those mechanical voice boxes where he could reach up and have some words come through, and they would sound, mechanical. But in the meantime, Ray did not let that deter him from coming to support other churches, smaller churches. I looked up one Sunday, and here come Ray and Caroline. And Ray had only been out of surgery for a few weeks. And they took their seats. And as I was able to look back out over the audience, I could see as we were singing, here's Ray Livesey without a voice box. And his mouth is mouthing every word just as we were singing. Ray wanted to sing so badly that even though he could not make a sound, he still was singing from his heart. Let me tell you, that's a man who loved to sing. Now, it's very unfortunate for Ray and for his story that he was not able to reach the age of retirement and to fulfill his life's dream of leaving and going one or two Sundays or more a month to go out and to support smaller churches, to take younger men like we have before our evening services so capably to stand up and to lead us, to take younger men and to train them, to give them a mentor to follow so that they too could love to sing and lead and encourage others to sing. It's a shame. It's a tragedy that his life didn't work out the way he wanted it to. But let me tell you something. His legacy lives on. His life was worth repeating because his love of singing praise to God was very, very contagious. It was the type of example that we need to follow. As Paul talks about in 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 1, he says, imitate me as I also imitate Christ. And we need to imitate good examples such as our good friend Ray Livesey. I'm still in touch with his widow from time to time. Caroline, Carl and I were back at Monroe, Georgia a couple of years ago. Went back for a Wednesday night speaking engagement, and Caroline was there. It was great for us to be able to reunite with her and several others as we were looking out over that church. But there's another person I want to add to this lesson today, because this weekend the Diana singing was going on. You know, that's held twice a year. And this was the first time this year for Friday night and Saturday night. I mentioned earlier that Tom Holland was able to be there. He's had a lot of severe health difficulties lately. Tom Holland, along with a fellow from Marshall County, Tennessee, were the originators of the Diana singing. It's been going on now for 30 or 40 years. I forget exactly how much. And Sammy and Linda have gone up there as they do to prepare. They could tell us exactly how long it's been going. But as I was looking at some of the photographs and videos that people were posting on social media this weekend about the Diana singing, I came across one that featured Nick Rushing. Nick Rushing is a special needs person, if you want to call him that. He is a special person in a lot of ways. He's into his early 20s now, but he's long since been a part of the youth group there at Creve Hall. Nick's parents have been very loving with him and taking him around. Nick is he's hampered with communication. He cannot communicate as often and as well as he'd like to. Nick also rocks back and forth a lot, and some of his mannerisms are a little jerky with what he does. But that youth group, to their credit, had taken Nick in, and he became much loved in that group. As a matter of fact, where some people might be shunned or might be made fun of, these kids went out of the way to make sure that Nick was a part of the process all the time. Again, showing a sense of oneness and love, community, and family within that good group of people. Nick also loved to sing, and from time to time his parents would be trying to make him sit down a little bit and stay still while he was singing, because when the song service began, Nick just couldn't help himself. He would start rocking back and forth, and he would start leading with his hands as he's leading out those songs. And there were some songs that he loved more than anything else. It's kind of like Megan when we sing Jesus Loves Me. She loves that song, and you know she loves that song. And there's certain songs that Nick really loved. Well, his mother posted a few videos of Nick. He's sitting outside of the tent area or the barn area, and he's got a songbook. And I posted one to my Facebook page. If you want to go there today, that would be a marvelous thing. Go look on my Facebook page, find that video, and then write an encouraging note to Nick and his parents. Because there he is, he's sitting and he's singing. He's holding his book and his arm is going, and he's singing with all of his might because he loves God. He loves God. I think of these examples of people who love God and can't wait to express it. Can't wait till they have the opportunity to be with like-minded people, to sit around and to say, oh, how I love Jesus, but not just with words, but with their life and with their manner of worshiping in spirit and in truth. So I leave you just with this one verse from James. If we are cheerful, let us sing. If we are appreciative of God, let us sing. If we are sometimes discouraged, let us pray, but also let us sing. Let us look to God, who is the provider for everything that we have, and let us praise Him, let us honor Him, and let us have no doubt that others around us will know that we know that our Redeemer lives and that He is long for us. This afternoon, we have a song of encouragement that's been selected. If you're subject to that invitation in any way, we would encourage you to come now while we stand and while we sing.